The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simen Kuf Tzadi Vav. This simen deals with the laws of Aninus. Now, Aninus is a concept that between the time of the person dying and the kvura and the burial, there's a period of time known as Aninus. And what Aninus means is that the Chachamim, the rabbis, gave a person who's in the status of an Einin, which one of his close relatives passed away, and he's in between the Patira, the death, and the Kvura, and the burial, he gave him the status of an Einin. Now, the Einin has a very interesting status, and the reason for his status is because Chazal wanted a person to be involved with making the arrangements for the deceased person, be involved in the respect of honoring the deceased person and making the arrangements. So therefore, Chazal exempted this person from all positive commandments. That means when he eats without a bracha. He doesn't daven. He doesn't do any of those things. Negative commandments, he obviously has to keep. He has to eat kosher. He has to do all those things. But positive commandments he doesn't have to do, and he's not even supposed to do them because he's supposed to show that he's so busy making preparations for the deceased, and therefore he doesn't have time, and that's his complete focus. Now we see over here a tremendous demonstration of kavod ames, of respect for the deceased, and it's something that is a very big theme in these halachas, and it's a very deep part of how Chazal viewed a human being, that a human being, when they pass away, the body has a certain holiness to it, and there's a neshama that is going on, and therefore we have to do a lot to respect and preserve the dignity of that person, and it's a tremendous mitzvah to honor them and to be involved in it. And this is like perhaps one of the only places that we find a person is so completely exempt from doing mitzvahs. And as we go through this, we'll see different points of the halacha. But we will see that this exemption of an einin is only a person that's at least somewhat involved in the preparations. But say, what happens if a person hears that the relative passes away and they're in a different country and they're not planning to go to the funeral? So, first of all, the poskim all say that the person doesn't have a status of an einin because they're not involved or they can't be involved in those preparations, so therefore they would be obligated in doing all mitzvahs. Not only that, but according to many paiskim, we'll discuss this probably later in future shirim, that according to many paiskim, if the person is not planning to go to the levaya, the funeral, and they're not in the same sitting, it's quite possible that right away a veil starts, right away they even start sitting shiva. That again, there are different minhagim about it, but a very prevalent meaning is to start sitting shiva right away. So again, the focus of this simon is an einin, a person whose relative has passed away, and they're involved with the preparations, and therefore they have special halachas. Now let's look at the first sif. Mi shemeis lemeis shehu chayav l'sabdalav. A person who, a relative who he has an obligation to mourn on, hareiz einin. They have a status of an einin. Now, I want to point out that this halacha applies to women just as much as men. And it makes no difference that she's a married woman and she has obligations to her husband. But when it comes to if one of her close relatives passes away, then she has a status of an einin because she has a mitzvah to involve herself in those preparations. Now, the Kitzur continues, Hareza einin ad la'achar kvura, until the interment, shulayinah kalas reish, and part of the restrictions placed on an einin, besides for what I mentioned to you, is that he doesn't do other mitzvahs, is that he doesn't drink wine or eat meat. Now, it's an interesting thing because we know that an avil, a person who's in mourning, they're allowed to drink wine. As a matter of fact, it's brought that we bring them wine in order to help them overcome their tzara, overcome their sorrow. But when it comes to an einin, not. And the reason was because there are people who, unfortunately, they didn't take it seriously, a relative passing away, and they would be making a party because it wasn't, the shiva didn't start yet, so they would eat and drink, and Chazal felt this was very inappropriate to the deceased person. So therefore, Chazal forbid eating meat and drinking wine as well. So this is what we're, so basically, an einin has, we could call maybe three different requirements. One is that obviously he has a mitzvah to be involved with the preparations. Number two, he's exempt from positive commandments. And number three, he has a prohibition against eating meat and drinking wine. And as we're going to soon see, he also has certain of the regular halachas of avilas as well. Now, first, so again, this is the halacha over here, that that we don't want him to take it lightly, because people are going to think that this person wasn't significant, and that's why they're just, you know, partying and they're not taking it seriously. So that's why he's not so involved, and we don't want it to be like that, because that's not respectful, because every person, we don't want people to think that about someone. If it's a genai, and it's very inappropriate, and it's very disgraceful. And we find the prohibition of sort of making fun or showing a lack of respect for a deceased person. It should look that a person is very involved. Now, it seems from the kitzur, and sort of interesting thing to think about, is that even if the person wasn't such an important person, but out of respect to the person, it should look like that we're busy with them. And again, that could be, as we find in the laws in the laws of Kriya, we find what's the reason why a person is obligated to tear Kriya if they're at the death of any person, any Jewish person, even if they're not a tzaddik, is because a person's like a sefer Torah that they know have some Torah in them. So, in a way, once a person passes away, so we look at the potential that they had, that every Jewish person has such potential, so therefore Chazal wanted it to at least look like they were very involved in making the preparations, even if we might not necessarily be, because the person wasn't such a great person, but still Chazal felt that that's the honor that each person deserves. Now let's continue. So besides for the restrictions of not eating meat and drinking wine, besides for the different forms of avelas that he has to keep, which we're going to learn about later in the siman, and besides, for the fact he shouldn't do positive commandments, he shouldn't eat in the actual room of where the deceased person is. And I believe we mentioned it before in the laws of Shmira regarding the deceased, but again, we see it over here because that's a tremendous lack of respect. But in a different room. And if the person doesn't have a different room, it's a one-room apartment, and that's where the deceased person is, he should eat in someone else's house. And if he can't get to someone else's house, he should make in front of the deceased a partition, 10 tvachim tall, from the floor to the beginning of the partition, it should be open 3 tvachim, because that would take away from it being considered a partition. It should be strong enough that it wouldn't be easily blown down by a soft wind. Now, if he's really stuck, he doesn't have another half to go, he doesn't even have what to make a mechitza out of. So then, the best he could do is to turn the other way and eat. Now he says that even without that, so this is all talking when he's actually in front of the deceased. But even if he's not in front of the deceased, even in a different city, but if he's aware that his relative is not buried yet, so a person shouldn't be overly involved with indulging themselves. But a person eats what they have to, but they shouldn't be involved in big long meals. Ein meisav oichel derech kvius, not in a official elongated form, ela derech haroi, but like a snack. Ve'ein oichel basav, ve'ein shos yayin, and as we mentioned before, you should not be eating meat or drinking wine. And the reason is because, again, as respect for the dead person, it's not right that a person should be all busy indulging themselves, and therefore a person shouldn't be eating meat and drinking wine, and they should not either be involved in long sudas for other things. Now, it's important to mention that this prohibition for a person to eat in front of the deceased is not only the person themselves who is a relative, but anybody who's there, it's inappropriate. And even if it's just a small amount of food, even if it's just a snack, but again, no one should be eating in front of the deceased, but a relative, even not in front of the deceased, shouldn't be overly indulging themselves, and definitely not in meat or with wine. Now, we did mention previously in the difference here that when it comes to the laws of Kriya, there is some sort of obligation for a minor, for a katan, to perform Kriya. But with the rest of Avelis, there is no obligation. So the Paiskim say that the laws of Aninos follows that of the rest of Avelis, because the katan, the minor, doesn't have an obligation to involve himself in the preparations. So therefore, a katan is not obligated in the laws of Aninos. Now, there is a discussion about meat foods that are not actual meat. Right, for example, during the 9 days, so not only do we not eat actual meat, but we wouldn't eat a meat soup or something like that. So what about with the laws of Aninos? So the Kiva Eger asked this question, and he's unsure what is halacha. And the Nevi Yehuda writes that one is allowed to. He says because only during the 9 days, that's when there's a strong minig. But over here, the whole reason is because maybe a person's not going to be involved with the mace. So that's one thing. If he's eating real meat, if he's eating, you know, a steak or something like real meat. But if it's just a soup that happens to have a meat flavor in it, so the Nevi Yehuda felt that it was okay. However, a different one of the Achrayim is of the opinion that one shouldn't do it, because you might come to other tanugim, onto other delicacies. So again, it's a machlekes over here. It seems that many parts call one's allowed to. One could possibly say that we have a general rule of halacha kedivrei Amekel b'avelus, that we go according to lenient opinion in avelus. That is possible over here. On the other hand, you know, if a person doesn't have a real need to eat anything meat, then it may be a good idea even to stay away from anything. It is brought down that if a person feels weak, that they definitely could be lenient, because they need, you know, strength to be able to deal with everything they have to deal with. Another question is, what about Chamar Medina? What about whiskey or things not made out of wine? And some hold that as long as one doesn't get drunk, intoxicated, then it's mutter. And others say, no, that's still inappropriate. But they also bring that if a person's very depressed or very down, so therefore, they would be allowed to take a little bit of whiskey or something like that in order to help them deal with the situation. The Kitzer continues with Sif Beis. Now, again, Sif Aleph talked about the fact that he shouldn't drink wine and eat meat. And now we're discussing what we mentioned in the beginning, that he's exempt from positive mitzvahs. Einin pata mikol am mitzvah shabatayra. Einin is exempt from all mitzvahs in the Torah. Va'afilu ein tzarech lasaik b'tzarech hames. Even if he doesn't need to be involved. Kugon sheyesh la'acherim sha'oizki m'shvila. Right, today we have a chevra kadisha that cleanses the body and takes care of a lot of the preparations. So even if one has that, va'afilu im who writes la'achmer al'atzma ein rashoi. And even if a person wants to be stringent and say, I will keep mitzvahs, he's not allowed to mipnei kavod ha'meis, because the whole reason is to show respect that you're involved with the deceased. So by being stringent, you're taking away from that honor. So therefore, a person doesn't make a bracha ha'maitzi before eating bread or bench afterwards. And even if others are making a bracha, one does not answer amen. The Paiskim discussed, it would seem that if an Einan does make a bracha, one should not answer amen. He's not supposed to. be making the bracha in the first place. Ve'ena mitzdarif lo'la zimun v'lo'la asara. He's not in part of a zimun or asara, and even it's brought for a minion, he shouldn't be part of. Now, they do say that to say Kaddish, there are different customs, whether or not a person says Kaddish on the mace before the person is buried. On the one hand, it's always a schus, it's always a merit for the mace. Others say, but the main reason for saying Kaddish is that if a person goes through a certain din, goes through a certain judgment, and a certain yisurin, certain punishments in Shemayim, the neshama goes through, so it saves them from that. But that doesn't begin until after the kfur, after the person's buried. So, therefore, the real a time for saying Kaddish is later. So there's different places in Eretz Yisrael. I saw brought that they do say Kaddish earlier, but a prevalent custom is not to say Kaddish. So for that, it's brought that if one does say Kaddish, they could be part of a minyan for Kaddish during the time of Aninos. But if that's a regular minyan for tefillah or for benching, that one is not part of. Avo mashehu mitzvah loisa say, but a negative commandment, a filu midrabanon, even a rabbinic one, asher gam loy. That's definitely forbidden. So interesting thing, when a person wants to eat bread, so they're not going to bring a bracha on the bread, but they will wash their hands because there's a prohibition. They're not allowed to eat bread without washing their hands, but they're not going to make a bracha on it because they're exempt from that mitzvah. But he doesn't make a bracha on washing the hands. In the morning, right? So a person washes the hands they're supposed to. But he doesn't make a bracha. There is a discussion. What about wearing tzitzis, talis katan? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes that what's the whole reason why one doesn't do any positive commandments? Because it shows he's busy with that and not busy with the deceased. But he says the mitzvah tzitzis is if you're wearing a piece of clothing that has four corners, then you need to have tzitzis. So he says when a person puts on the garment, that's not an act of showing that you're not busy with the deceased. That's just putting on clothing. Once you have the clothing on, you have a mitzvah to have tzitzis. So that's more passive. So therefore he says, and many pious can bring that one does wear the talis katan, one would wear tzitzis. Another interesting question I saw was, what about if a person's traveling in a place where there's danger, could one say tefillas hadarach? So some say, well, listen, you have a mitzvah to pray to daven, and you're in a dangerous situation, so one should say tefillas hadarach. Others, I believe I saw brought in the name of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that he held no, that Chazal made a tefillah tefillas hadarach, and in this situation, you're exempt from all tefillas, so therefore, you would not say tefillas hadarach. Now we'll continue with Sif Gimel. Im achal kaidim shenik bar ameis. So what happens if the person ate before the person was buried? So therefore, at that time, he was exempt from brachas. L'achal shenik bar adam l'sachal ha-mazling. And after the person was buried, it's still within a small amount of time that he could still bench. Yivarech brachas ha-mazling, says the kitzer, that now you have an obligation to bench brachas ha-mazlin. Now, there are those that say differently. If they say that since at the time where the obligation was created, one was exempt, therefore one does not have to make a bracha later. This seems to be a machlaikas. But the opinion of the kitzur is that if one were to eat right before the kvura, right before the burial, then one does make, one would bench afterwards. The gamim, what happens if a person uses the bathroom before the burial? So we know you're supposed to make the bracha of Asher Yatzar, but one's not allowed to make it because they're an einin. So what should one do? Yivarech achakach brachas Asher Yatzar afilu kol hayom. One should make the bracha of Asher Yatzar afterwards. And again, this follows seemingly the kitzur's understanding that one makes these brachas even though at the time when the obligation came about they were exempt, but one still makes it. And again, according to other shittas, according to other paiskim, one does not make it because at the time when the obligation would have started, they were exempt. Now let's continue with Sif Dalet. im ha'ainin b'ir acheres. Now, what if the ainin is in a different city? So he's in a different city, and where the person passed away, there are relatives there to take care of it. They're close relatives who have obligation to mourn and to take care of the person. So he says, the kitzer, that the relative in a different city does not have a din of an einin, status of an einin. But if there are no relatives in that place, then chal alzad din einin, then he does have a status of an einin because he's the closest relative and he would have to be involved. Now, there does seem to be sort of a machlaikus about this. There are shittas and paiskim that hold that even if he is in a different city, he does have the status of an einin. But it does seem that this whole discussion is only talking when he's planning to go to the levayik, or to the burial. Because if he's in a different city, and he's not needed to be involved, and he's not planning to go to the levaya, then it would seem that most paiskim would agree that he does not have the status of an einin, and his shiva perhaps even starts right away. The case of the kitzur over here seemingly is that he's in a different city, but perhaps he's going to travel there for the funeral, but he's not there yet, and there's people now to take care of it, so they don't really need him to be involved at this point, so that's why he wouldn't have a din of an einin. Whereas others hold, I guess, since he's planning to go to the funeral, so therefore out of respect to the mace, so he's still involved, at least somewhat, because he's planning to go, so therefore that's enough to still give him the status of an einin. Now they bring that even if one wants to be stringent and keep mitzvahs because it's a dispute, but still one should not put on tefillin, because tefillin is definitely a sign of something that we do not do when one is an einin, so therefore that they should not do. But other mitzvahs, if they want to be stringent, they could be stringent. This seems to be what some opinions hold as a way of sort of dealing with this machlekes, dealing with this dispute. Now let's continue with Sif Hey. The Makom Sheyesh Chevra Kedisha. Now what if in a place where there's a burial society, so after the relatives did what they needed to do, and they made arrangements with the Chevra Kedisha, so they don't have to do anything, but the people of the Chevra Kedish do everything. So the Kitzur says that if they give it over completely to the Chevra Kedisha, so then they lose their status of an Einin, and their Mutter B'Basav Yain, they're allowed to drink wine and eat meat. And they definitely are obligated in all mitzvahs. Now, the contemporary paiskim discuss this, and what it seems to be is that, as the Kitzur says very clearly, that ein aleim shum davar, they don't have anything to do, which many paiskim understand to mean, first of all, that it's totally given over to the Chevra Kedisha, the Chevra Kedisha is going to make all decisions. Which is very different that today, even if you have a funeral chapel, you have a Chevra Kedisha, but they're still constantly asking the relatives to make various decisions. Also, if the relatives are planning to go to Levaya, to the funeral, so then also they're still involved. So this is again what many paiskim hold, that today, if a person is still going to be at the Levaya, that's still called that they're involved. In those days, it could have been that basically it was given over to the Chevra Kedisha, and the Chevra Kedisha is totally taking care of everything from that point on, and the person's not even going to the funeral, maybe they're burying in a different city, wherever it is. And the point is, so if there's no involvement, the person not planning to go to the funeral, so then they would not have a din of an einin. But today, when a person is planning to be go to the funeral and they're still involved, they'll still be asking the relatives decisions, so the relatives will still have the status of an einin. Now the Kitzur continues. He says the prevalent custom is, although there's this argument that once it's given over to the Chevra Kadisha, they're exempt. So the custom is that they don't daven until after the burial. Because the kids are saying that they would still be part of Levaya out of Esek Forest until that point, and the Chevra Kadisha would take care of the rest. And one who wants to be stringent and to daven right away, once it was given over to the Chevra Kadisha, even if he does plan to go to Levaya, so says the Kitzur, he has a right to be stringent on himself. So again, according to the Kitzur, it seems that even if the person is planning to go to Levaya, but if they have absolutely no involvement in the decision-making process, then really they're not an Einar anymore, but they still shouldn't wear tefillin. The custom is that they don't daven until after the kfura. But one could be stringent if they would like. And what I mentioned from the various contemporary paiskim is that the custom today is that we do have a status of an Einar because they are still involved in the decision and because they're planning to attend the Levaya. So far we've covered, again, that Einan is Asr B'Bas V'Yayin. He has a prohibition of eating meat and drinking wine. And also he's Pater from mitzvahs. He has exemption from doing certain mitzvahs. And the third thing is that he does have to keep certain laws of Avelus. This is a Machlaikis in the early Paiskin, but Halacha is quite clear that one keeps many of the dinim of Avelus, as we're going to see right now. Sivav. Calls Manchle Nikbar Mace. So as long as the deceased is not buried yet, so some of the laws of Avelus, we know an Avel, a mourner, he sits low and he takes off his shoes and he doesn't wash himself or anoint himself for pleasure. So these halachas, many of them do apply to an Einin, but not taking off their shoes. And the reason why he doesn't take off his shoes is because he's supposed to be out and about taking care of all the preparations. So if he's going to not be wearing shoes, he's not going to be able to do that. So therefore, he wears regular shoes. And he's also allowed to leave the house, even though an Ovel, you know, a mourner is not supposed to leave the house. He's permitted to leave the house. But he's not supposed to sleep or sit on a regular stool or bed. Now, the Paiskim discuss that the prevalent minhag is that an Einin does not sit low until after the Kfur when he's considered an Ovel. And they try to give different explanations for it, why that is, but that's the prevalent custom. The Chol Shekein She'asur B'Tashas Shamita, but marital relations are definitely prohibited. Also berachitz, and also washing oneself for pleasure is prohibited. Now, what about if a person is going to be involved in the Tara process of cleansing the Nifter, and many Chevra Kadishas have the custom that they go to the mikveh beforehand, so then one would be allowed to because it's not for pleasure. V'sicha, and one should not anoint themselves for pleasure. V'simcha, and going to joyous events, for Shilo Shalom, and greeting people, with aspirers, and taking a haircut, over Talmud Torah, and learning Torah. V'asr v'mlacha, and one's not allowed to do work either. Afila ayde acherim, we're talking about parnasa, we're talking about doing business. Afil b'davar avid, and even if one will have a loss, v'hefse gadol yaseh shel chacham. If there's going to be a great loss involved, then one should ask a competent rav. Now, there's a big discussion over here that if there's going to be a great loss, would a person be allowed to sell their business over to someone else, and sort of they'll sell it to them for the meantime, and then they'll get it back later. So one problem is this like a harama? This is sort of like not a serious sale. So that's one problem. The other problem is that the very act of selling it when a person's already an Einin is a problem because they're not allowed to do business. So selling their whole business is also a form of business. So there was a custom in many places that when it looked like the person was really very, very sick, So then it was imminent to death, so then they would sell the business then. So then they would get out of this problem because they would sell it before they actually became an oinin. That would seem to be a custom. But again, this is something that not all the Paiskim are so happy with because it is a haram, it is sort of like a trick, and the sale doesn't look so serious. So that's why the Kitzur says, Yashashash Shel Chacham, one should seek rabbinic guidance, because again, doing it, especially if one didn't do it before, and wants to do it now, so the very selling itself will be an act of Mechach HaMemker. So that's why one should seek a Rav as far as if it's appropriate to do it or not.